You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Had me a little dust up there with the last caller about red flag laws. Listen, don't call into the show and expect me to sit idly by and just let you demand that we curtail liberties. And it doesn't work like that. In fact, this whole section of the Triple Dipper is called, that's not how this works. That is not how this works. The very red flag laws. Hey, I got a caller on line 5. Let me grab that real quick. He held on during the break, and I appreciate it. Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing today?
Mighty fine, and salutations, and a polite rebuttal to the curtailing of our freedoms. Let's go back to FDR and where he interned the Japanese residents, the people of their descent at that point, without anything proven against them. And that was against everything that we are for. And then read the diary of Anne Frank and in the ghettos of Warsaw, where they turned over each other at different times because they could get something out of it. Then you go to McCarthy in the 50s, you could rat out your neighbor and they just because you're mad at them. And then all of a sudden they'd be put in front of trial for perhaps being communist. And now red flag laws now. I'm sorry, we're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us in this nation that have sworn oaths, including those that have broken them in Congress and everything, other areas, to defend that Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Yeah.
So
well said.
I just don't want a mad neighbor putting me on the hot seat.
No, and those exist, by the way. We've already seen it. I mean, false charges get filed all the time. The number of incident reports filed on angry neighbors who have fence line disputes or, you know, aggrieved ex-spouses or ex-boyfriends and girlfriends. I mean, that kind of stuff happens all the time. And the very idea that that's going to be the tool that could wind up causing you to lose a constitutional right, Brian, you're so right.
And we're supposed to protect those people against that. We're not supposed to be subjected to it or subject them to it.
Yeah.
You have a great
totally.
Day, sir.
Yeah, you, sir. Yes, sir. You too. Brian, thanks so much for hanging on during the break, too. Hey, so he's right. And by the way, I mean, just go look at the Khmer Rouge. I mean, when the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia, it got down to the point that children were turning in their parents. You know, you literally, where does it stop? Well, they're mental. They're mental. What does that mean? What is it? Define that, please. Can you give me something that says, here's how we can work with this and not abridge your constitutional rights? That's what separates us from the rest of the world, is the fact that there are rights. They are not privileges. They are not some kind of opportunities. They're rights. Let me jump on another call real quick. Line 1, Brian from Decatur. Brian, how you doing today?
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, good, sir. How you doing? What's on your mind?
Just a quick question. Instead of all these red flag laws and all of these revamping the current laws on the books, why not let's start taking a look at the root cause of all these things? What has changed from my generation and your generation to this generation? I mean, I'm not sure how old you are, but, you know, I remember going to school with my 22 in the gun rack in the back of the truck.
Yeah. No,
you know, what has changed? Is it the social experimentation that has gone on in the last 20 years? Is it the glorification of these people through the media when they do these things? I mean, what is causing this? That's what we need to address. Not guns, not, you know, abstract things that do nothing. And I just think that's where we need to be heading.
Totally agree, man. I mean, you're right. Thanks. The breakdown of the family, the removal of, you know, standards, removing God from society. When you do those kinds of things, what do you expect to happen? The things that those stood for fall by the wayside too. It's not like you can just say, Follow your own truth and not expect people to actually do it. Sometimes their truth might be things that cause offense or cause harm for that matter. I got another caller real quick. I'll take that. Line two, Mark from Owens Crossroads. Hey, Mark, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Phil, the Second Amendment, no, I don't think it should be tampered with. Now that said, I think maybe an appeasement to the leftist and the red flag law people would be something in the order of what we have for felons currently. Felons can't carry or possess weapons. And I know some states have been trying to change that. But at the same time, I don't think you should go on a neighbor's call out or an ex-wife's call out or things like that. But there could be some small middle ground that could be put into effect for severely impacted, diagnosed people that should not be carrying a weapon. And I think that should be slated at a high doctor's level, not just a therapist or a small-time, I think, kind of person. I just think there could be a little bit of middle ground to satisfy them and keep the Second Amendment completely intact so it doesn't infringe on our constitutional right.
So let me ask you this, Mark. Let me go down that road with you for a minute. If we do that, who is the person that's going to violate the HIPAA laws, which are supposedly to protect your medical confidentiality, to make the report about something you haven't done but you could do? It's not like there's a report of a pending action, because, you know, a doctor, a therapist, a lawyer even, they're allowed to break privilege if there is a pending threat of harm to life, limb, or property that they know they have to intervene on. But if there's no pending threat, how do you report someone because they have a medical condition which is supposed to be private and they haven't done anything bad yet, but you're concerned? So now you have to put them on a list that they may never have earned the right to be on. How do you go down that road and make it stick?
So I definitely am not the one that would have that answer, but how do they treat felons right now? What list are they put on?
Well, right now felons are they're in the criminal justice system. I mean, they're listed in the Alicorp system in Alabama. I can go right now and pull up anybody's name who's been convicted of a felony and find it in Alabama very easily. They're on the state database. The law enforcement has the cross-pollination databases from different states, the federal databases. So those are slightly different. They've been adjudicated and they are in the system. They are wards of the state for a period of time, and when they're released, they're still in the system. You're talking about a supposition of someone who has been allegedly diagnosed for what level of diagnosis we don't know yet. And then what you're doing, though, is opening Pandora's box. And then you're going to have state laws. Every state's going to be different. California's going to go all in, man. You're taking antidepressants, no guns.
And
you're going to have Alabama.
I fear that more than the conversation I was actually bringing up. I just don't know the answer. So
yeah. All right. Hey,
I understand Mark, the other point.
Yeah, Mark, I got another caller I got to get. But hey, listen, man, I appreciate spitballing with you. Thank you so much. All right, that's line two. That was Mark from Owens Crossroads. Let me jump over to line three because the phones are just lighting up, man. Is it Al? Is that who's on the phone, Copper? I can't read it there. Al from Athens. Al, how you doing today?
Went down to Florida for the weekend or this past week and through the weekend. You would not believe the number of Katy Britt billboards all over the state. I mean, it is phenomenal. I'd say there's 20 to 1. You see none for Mo. But my contention is North Alabama is going to have to pull Mo across the finish line, no doubt about it. And I did love his response to all the negative ads that he has received and his response to Trump endorsing Britt, which I think was a travesty. Over.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, Al. So, and by the way, yeah, the billboards, those cost money, and the person in this race who has all the money right now is Katy Britt. There's no doubt about that. Shelby and McConnell have made sure she is packed.
It's phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. I mean, you're talking about every corner, every side road, within a all over Mobile, all over the surrounding areas of the Florida coastline. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It makes you wonder if Alexander Shannara gave her his billboards, didn't
he? Yeah, I mean, even Shannara is a blimp on the screen, according to her. I mean, it's
wow.
Like you would think that this is the coronation of, the second coming.
Well,
literally.
Yeah, I'm saying, and when you've got all the money, you can buy all the ads. But
yeah, but this goes beyond money. I cannot imagine it blows my mind that much money is being spent on a runoff. I mean,
yeah.
Or leading up to a runoff. You would think the regular election against opposition, yeah. But good Lord.
Well, I saw a report. There was a report that said that this Senate race is the third most expensive race in the country right now. $24.5 million have been spent on it by April.
The Democrats are pouring so much money into it, it's unbelievable. They want Katie Britt because she supported Doug Jones.
Well,
she was a lobbyist for Doug Jones, man. The more that comes out, I mean, I knew she was a rhino before I heard all this other stuff.
Well,
no voting record, never elected to a public office, no voting record. Come on, you don't deserve to be a U.S. Senator if you haven't had at least one term in office and showed some sort of, compunction for conservatives, especially in the state of Alabama.
Well, we'll see whether or not the voters all agree with you or not come next Tuesday, man. Hey, Alec, I got to go, man. I'm up against a break. Let me jump off here. All right, you have a great day. All right, man, the opinions are all over the place. Next Tuesday is going to be really interesting. I mean, the polls show Katie Britt right now, but I do agree with Al that North Alabama, there's so much on the ballot for North Alabama next Tuesday, that could wind up being a force if North Alabama swings for Mo Brooks. We'll wait and see. It's going to be next Tuesday. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll take a quick break and be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Time now 4:25 PM. Got another caller on line four, so let me just jump on over there. Jason from Huntsville. Jason, how you doing today, man?
Doing well, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a 19-year-old college student, and I have a question for you.
All right.
So we always hear that hard times create great men and weak times create great men. So where are all the great men today? Because we're in hard times, but I'm not seeing a lot of great men rising up.
You talk about like for being mentors to younger men and for standing up for things that are right. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I do think they're out there. I think they're all over the place, but right now it's not trendy, if you will, for them to be, touted. And so you're not seeing a whole lot of visible news stories and that kinds of thing. But you're seeing, but there are amazing people out there that are doing amazing things. I mean, like when the show first started last year, we had a guy on who started something that has a 50-yard challenge. He's challenging kids all over the nation to go mow neighbors' yards, 50 yards, just help your neighbors. And it's having amazing impact. All things like that are happening left and right. You got guys that are doing hard things in hard places. I do think they exist, Jason. But also I think that society has to ask for them to exist, if you know what I mean.
I do.
I mean,
okay. Phil.
Well, let me ask you this, Jason, real quick. Have you had somebody in your life, somebody who's sort of like a stand-up guy that you can look up to?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And
thank you.
A great point, by the way. That's a great point. This is not a talk down moment. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving a talk down moment like the younger generation needs to hear from us. I'm not saying that. What I am saying though is that every generation needs an older generation to mentor them and to share with them the things they've done. And the younger generation, by the way, needs to every once in a while pause and listen, because maybe somebody's been somewhere and done something that might impact you. And I would just say, I mean, right now I can tell you that I've had people in my own life, men in my life, who have impacted me. There have been women in my life that have impacted me too, but when I'm talking about the guy to guy and the female to female peer relationship, not peer relationship, but mentor relationship, those do make a huge difference. And so often that's what's missing too within the fabric of our society. And I think that maybe Jason's point a moment ago was leading back to the previous caller who talked about the fact that the root cause of some of what we're seeing is not the guns themselves. It's the fact that there's a breakdown in the fabric of society in certain places. And so I would totally agree with that mentorship is a big deal. You know, you can look at scripture in Matthew 28, the Great Commission was to go ye therefore and create disciples. You know, that's not saying share the gospel and walk away. That's talking about raising people up. You know, if you look at the way that the disciples, I mean, 3 years of hanging out with Jesus, that was a mentorship. That was a discipleship relationship. And I'm not even talking about this having to be just a spiritual context. In life in general, there's an older generation that often has a lesson that could be passed on to the next generation, and it's so important. Well, Copper, I can see a break coming, so I guess I'll stop talking now. But yeah, folks, we got to do that. We got to. Put yourself in the position of, you know, being that guy. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. That was a short segment because I went long on the previous. We'll be right back, though, and wrap up the last half hour today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.